Okay. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees, which exist for maintaining others, no longer give alms in charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or, above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered soul? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? So, without Prabhupada's purport, we will be pretty much in anxiety about these two verses. Interesting, after Viratrupa, it goes straight into that Vedic songs are so bewildering, and then one should make his life simple as possible, and then to this straight on. And if you hear carefully Prabhupada's purport, you'll be free from anxiety. Because without purport, this verse is just, is that what I have to do? So, hear the purport now. It's 2 pages, actually, it's pretty long. The renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, a parasite is a sycophant. Is that how we pronounce sycophant? Who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to that society. The renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatana Dharma institution, alms given to the mendicant is part of a householder's duty, and it is advised in the scriptures that the householders should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them with food, clothing, etc., without being asked. Mendicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of the faithful householders. The first duty of a person in a renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction towards self-realization. Amongst the other duties in the renounced order of life, of Srila Sanatana, Srila Rupa, and other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses among themselves at Seva Kunja, Vrindavan, the spot where Sri Radha Damodara temple was established by Srila Jiva Goswami, and where the actual samadhi tombs of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all human society, they left behind them immense literature of transcendental importance. Similarly, all the acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not at living a comfortable life or irresponsible life at the cost of others. However, those who cannot give any contribution should not go to the householders for the food. For such mendicants asking bread from the householders are an insult to the highest order. Shukadeva Goswami gave this warning especially for those mendicants who adopt the line of profession to solve their economic problems. Such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. When a man becomes mendicant, willfully or by circumstances, that's interesting, willfully or by circumstances. Like sometimes they said, one becomes vanaprastha because his wife kicks him out and his family abandons him. But it was the case with Prabhupada also. Wife didn't want to cook anymore and, messed up his Srimad Bhagavatam or something. So it's good. It's not that, with this way or that way, you will not be as powerful renunciate. So circumstances all willfully. Willfully is better, of course. He must be of firm faith and conviction that the Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all living beings everywhere in the universe. Why then would he neglect the maintenance of surrendered soul who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord? So this is a secret. 100% be engaged and then you will be provided. Common master look to the necessities of his servant. So how much more would the all-powerful, all-opulent, supreme Lord look after his necessity, after the necessities of life for a fully surrendered soul? The general rule is that a mendicant devotee will accept a simple small loincloth without asking anyone to give it in charity. He simply salvages it from the rejected torn cloth thrown in the street. When he is hungry, he may go to a magnanimous tree which drops fruit. And when he is thirsty, he may drink water from the flowing river. Whoa. He does not require to live in a comfortable house, but should find a cave in hills, and not to be afraid of jungle animals, keeping faith in God, who lives in everyone's heart. The Lord may dictate the tigers and other jungle animals not to disturb his devotee. Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya, used to live in such a cave, and by chance, a great venomous snake was co-partner of the cave. Some admirer of Thakur Haridas, who had to visit the Thakura every day, feared the snake and suggested that the Thakura leaves that place. Because his devotees were afraid of the snake and they were regularly visiting the cave, Thakur Haridas agreed to the proposal on their account. But as soon as this was settled, the snake actually crawled out of its hole in the cave and left the cave for good before everyone present. By the dictation of the Lord, who lived also within the heart of the snake gave preference to Haridas Thakur and decided to leave the place and not disturb him. So this is a tangible example of how the Lord gives protection to a bona fide devotee like Thakur Haridas. According to the regulations of Sanatana Dharma institution, one is trained from the beginning to depend fully on the protection of the Lord in all circumstances. The path of renunciation is recommended for acceptance by one who is fully accomplished and fully purified in his existence. This stage is described also in the Bhagavad Gita as Daivi Sampat. Human being is required to accumulate Daivi Sampat or spiritual assets. Otherwise, the next alternative, Asuri Sampat, which means demoniac tendency, or material assets will overcome him disappropriately. Disproportionately. And thus one will be forced into entanglement of different miseries of the material world. Sannyasi should always live alone, without company, and he must be fearless. He should never be afraid of living alone, although he is never alone. The Lord is residing in everyone's heart, and unless one is purified by the prescribed process, one will feel that he is alone. But a man in the renounced order of life must be purified by the process. Thus, he will feel the presence of the Lord everywhere and will have nothing to fear, such as being without any company. Everyone can become a fearless and honest person if his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life. One can become fixed in one's prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic instructions and assimilation of the essence of the Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Lord. Oh, there's a long purport here. So, straight from describing Virat Rupa in previous chapter, it comes to this second chapter, which focuses more down. And as you said, next few verses, he focuses on Paramatma. So it's more condensed, Virat Rupa, all over the place, and then focuses more on Paramatma in heart. And then next chapter, you said yesterday, called devotional service or something. Next chapter, yeah. So kind of we see how progression goes. Pure devotional service, amazing, like, you know, gives you, lays down everything, you know. So from Virat concept, and then in this chapter describe how in this Virat concept, Virat Rupa, everything is provided for us within that Virat Rupa, or natural sources. You can get food from hair of the Lord, from the trees. You can drink from the veins of the Lord. I mean, this is a little bit gross, sorry. From the rivers. It says that like. So nityo nitanam chetanam chetananam. So Lord provides for everything. He's already there, see. He carries for us. Like yesterday, we touched the subject of environment, environmentalist and danger. You know, see, like the few sentimentalists who made entire organizations how to protect environment, because it's dangerous there, like our sense gratification is seriously hampered, even normal healthy life, see. But they don't know what is actually best to do. Like, you know, they take few species who are engrossed, you know, they are vanished either due to pollution or due to hunting for some special, whatever, ingredients or... And then what you gonna do? Okay, put them in a reservoir and let them recopulate again. But then what will happen in the future? The same species will be engrossed again, endangered again, because there is no essence, see. You know, point is, if one is not able, is not ready to realize that economy and so-called opulence, prosperity of the state is the cause of that environment crisis, endangered species, see. But they hope that somehow we'll find a way, a formula, to continue this comfortable life they call sane life. And at the same time, not have side effects of that. It is not possible. Until one comes to the level of stepping down, simplify his life, is not going to happen. It's not going to happen, you know. There's no way, see. So, you know, what causes extinction? So pollution, whatever, is hunting, whatever. You know, you're going to screw up again. That's the thing, you know. So, going there, as I mentioned, must be some section of society who really, really, really live this simple life to show the example. Because there is no example. We will be great preachers. There are many great speakers, not just devotees, who touch in on that problem. Excellent speakers can inspire you. But then you can bring even people here. But then what yet you going to show them? No, it's not going to take off. What you going to show them? So it must be section of society to show us. So we are those educators of society who have a solution for the problem. But it's not easy one. It's pretty painful. Who is like, we, as a devotee also, we're talking about simple life, talking about reducing using all this whatever, like gadgets, whatever. But each one of us is hooked on, you know, and it's not going to happen. You know, on an individual level must happen first. And those who are very enthusiastic about it must do something. And then create this, a group of same people, like even our so-called Varnashrama failed, you know. Only those who are vicious in heart, they still cling around and trying, you know. But so many projects fail because we are just not ready. We just can't do it. I spent about 7 years, like in farm here, and I just couldn't do it anymore, you know. You know, like you speak with somebody to enthuse him, like speaking to the plastic doll, you know. They just don't get it, importance. And he realized, burden is so huge that we will never do it. When I was in France, this Prabhupada disciple, something, what's his name, something, Goranga, Chaitanya, something, his Prabhupada disciple, you know, he's alone on the farm, of course, French farm, New Mayapur is decreased in number anyway. But he was there. One day I went with a few devotees when we were in retreat a few years ago. I helped him in a garden, you know. He reduced his, you know, small garden. That he has two bulls only left, plowing with them. And he literally almost begging me, please come here. Help me. I'm old. I just can't do it anymore. I just want to retire, go to Mayapur. But there's no response. So that's what's happening with the farms. You know, so therefore, those who are truly Vaishyas, they must stick to that. They must stick to this black and to thick and thin and slowly, you know, create something. Or this may never happen also. Because this utopian idea, they are not just in our society. If you know history, in every society there are major revolution of some kind of opinions. Even communism. The utopian idea will create ideal society for everybody. Hippies, whoa, it was a big movement. We're going to create a revolution. We're going to bring heaven down. There's a big happening in this, I don't know, is it Los Angeles or somewhere, where they were sitting and meditating and thinking, this night something will happen, you know, universe will come upon us. And nothing happened. So ideas there. So Marxism, all these movements, even this so-called not exposed New World Order, they have their agenda, if they exist, to create ideal society. We also have idea. It may never happen, this Varnashrama Dharma. When you speak with elder devotees, they just don't know how we're going to do it. An idea of Varnashrama Dharma, it may be different in manifestation. We have opinions and ideas. You know, our ideas immediately farm. Okay, maybe that's the base for it. Because if you have a farm, all around farm, you can accommodate all varnas and ashramas. This is like a base. But it may not happen. I believe that in 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya's movement will happen. But perhaps not through Varnashrama Dharma. And also, if we established, I mean, if we preach so widely and we create this, whatever, during 10,000 years, every town and village, holy name will be chanted. We'll be just spontaneous and natural product that we will have some form of Varnashrama Dharma, perhaps not in a way we imagine now. So that's kind of intake on that. Base cap is just wishful thinking. So preaching. Those who are into that, they should endeavor, really. And then those who feel the importance of it, Vaishya mentality, you have this, no, they should try. We must have some models of simple life that people see, oh, these guys are doing. And this will be much more powerful preaching than just speaking. When they see the example, you know, they wanted to join, like. And also, in early days, Hridayananda Goswami said, this was like Satya Yuga of movement in early days, hippie days. They were just renounced and they wanted to get out. He said it was easy, just get out, you know, in some new town and then meet so-called, he called it Bill, you know. And 2 hours ago, he met the Bill. He said, okay, Bill, are you ready now? Are you ready to be Hare Krishna? We're going next town. We're going to create, you know, we do next program. Are you ready to give up everything? Come on, Billy. Come on, Bill. Come. And then he said it worked. You know, you create so many devotees like that. And as he said yesterday, it's different time now. Different time. Because he said in that time, you know, like, they were not so spoiled, you know. Usually they were quite good educational background, all those hippies, you know. And they will go to the education at 16, 18. And then after they graduate, then happens everything. They just drop out. I don't want to, you know. And then from that time, they start their degrading life. 18, 20, between 18 and 20, 22. This was like, you know. And then when Hare Krishna movement came, they were not so spoiled, you know. Even so-called drugs, they were not so spiced with chemicals. You could easily kind of, you know, after 6 months, you can clear out, you know. And many of those, after 3 months, 6 months, they would go open centers. But see nowadays, from 12, they start already with illicit sex, with intoxication, and then they join when they're 20. They need years and years to stabilize their minds. Therefore, it's very difficult to preach. What to speak about electronic pollution in these terms of our using gadget, using computers, you know, attention span is so decreased, you know, tolerance. So we're dealing more or less with psychopathics, you know, very often. It's, you know, it's very difficult to preach, so you need different tactics. But one thing which always works, I notice, is you really become their friend. You always be there for them. Let them relax and trust you, and then, and be patient and tolerant, and slowly bring them up, you know. So it's a different ways to preach now, without stopping, of course, our old ways, Harinam Sankirtan. And so principle of these two verses, which come out of blue, you know, like such an extreme, this is extreme example of renunciation in these two verses. So they're definitely spoken 5,000 years ago. They could be applicable for many in that time, climate-wise, or you know, area-wise, whatever, in India. So, but this may not work now. But what works in Vedic scripture is a principle of it. Principle, application of principle. This is eternal. Circumstances may change. Therefore, we need acharya who will know how to implement essence of Vedic scriptures, even in these two verses. So, here, message is minimum for living. You know, one should invest its energy in self-realization, which definitely leads to a possible less entanglement in this material world. These verses, you know, just throwing out. And slowly advance as this purport save us. You see, interesting, the verse says nothing mentioned about renounced order of life. Just throws you out such extreme example of renunciation. But Prabhupada, straight away, two pages, speaks about renounced order of life and how to come slowly to that. So it kind of gives you perspective, yeah. This is a goal. It's how you go. It describes everything, see. Advance towards renounced order, see. So it needs intelligence to apply, of course, yeah. Just slowly become free from desires, like Purport says, you know. Slowly decrease your desire, be free from it, until completely pure. And then you can easily adopt these instructions there, see. Live on the minimum, you know. Devotee always depends on Krishna. That's another, you know, always depends on Krishna. And he's sure Krishna will protect him. There's no question of it, you know. This example of Haridas Thakura and snake, it's not just something I thrown there. It is exactly that. Lord will, it will protect and provide everything for his fully surrendered souls. He will. So this fear of existential fears, whatever fear you have, we discussed a little bit yesterday during the breakfast, is a sign of a Kanishtha Adhikari. Any anxiety you have, any fear you have, is signs of Kanishtha Adhikari. Madhyama is firm faith. Kanishtha is wavering. So, like, anyway, this is a side point, like theory, let's say, this ridiculous theory that poisoned Prabhupada or something. Somebody poisoned Prabhupada. You think Krishna will allow this, even somebody would have this attention, which is just ridiculous. Krishna will not do something like ridiculous ideas, you know. Or sometimes, for example, Brahmachari changes ashram, not just because he's agitated sensually or wants to have a family, because he's afraid of existence. Who is going to take care of me when I get old? What will happen to me? So, due to that, they change the ashram very often, you know. Just the side points of that. So, to analyze these verses, again, it's a clothing from the street, yeah. There's not many clothing. It's interesting, yesterday the verse said there are three barks for your clothing. Now they said the clothing on the street, so it kind of smooths down a little bit, you know. You don't need to take a three bark for a clothing, go on the street. Interesting how it changes the same. Speaks about clothing. Yesterday it said tree bark. Now I said, okay, go on the street, pick up torn cloth. Means you can go Oxfam or charity booth. Some devotees leave like it. Why not? Prabhupada look like a gentleman. You can be like a gentleman, a very clean paka with all cloth, out of fashion, no problem. You don't need to follow the fashion. It can be, you know, very simple. Very simply. There's not much, you know, maybe a few pennies in Oxfam can have nice decent cloth. I know devotees who do that. So anyway, maybe ladies would have a problem with that, but you know, because they are men, they are not meant to be sannyasis anyway, you know. Women must, like, this is their weapon. Like, anyway, just side point again, when you see the couples, you see the man and lady going night out. You see the man, he's like usually in jeans and, you know, sometimes in trainers, just, you know, not much. Ladies must be look perfect, you know. Fashion, makeup, jewelry. It's such a kind of diverse scene. So the man is, in general, he's not, of course, he's not the rule, but in general, most often, he's not much inclined, you know, how he looks, unless he's decently clean. Prabhupada said, look like a gentleman, you can preach. So, is that, yeah, water from rivers, I said, food from trees, my goodness, you know. Do you know any tree which has fruits through all the season? In summer or late summer, you have some fruits, and that's it. You know, like maybe you know, if you travel in India, go to south in the winter, you can find some fruits, maybe, you know, and go to the north later. But point is, like, you know, if fruit is available, then you do. If not, then you do some madhukari. You know, sannyasi do madhukari means go to 7 house, 9 house. Or something, and then takes whatever somebody gives. If they don't give, he fasts. If they give extra, he gives in charity and doesn't keep anything for next day. That's a principle. That's a principle. Whatever is easy available, without strenuous endeavor, that's a thing which, you know, and save your time for spiritual life. Then drink water from the rivers. Whoa, you may get really sick, you know, maybe die even. I don't know if there's many rivers. I mean, there are few rivers left which you can drink. I remember when we were on a rafting on Yamuna, just on the north in the Himalayas. Water is, you never taste such a amazing, tasty water. I never, in my mind, already I feel the taste that so pure. You know, I remember we would raft on the boat. I would just lean down like a cow and drink straight from the river. Straight from here, so cool and refreshing, sweet, my goodness. And I remember, soon as we passed first village, few houses, one devotee, he drank, was looking clean still and still the same. He drank, and oh my goodness, within an hour or something, his stomach was in a disaster. He has to quit and then go back to Vrindavan. And then under counter, one doctor who was friendly gave him some very strong antibiotics which saved him. So that's what it means. You drink for river, you're finished, you know. Maybe if we have a faith, I remember one devotee said, we would go every day on Keshigat in Vrindavan. He said, those devotees, they filter the water. They are so careful and they get sick all the time. He said, I just came into Jamuna. I scatter all the dirt on the surface. Drink litter every day. Never happens anything. They're extremely lucky. I don't know if that's karma or something, but, you know, with faith, actually, you see, this is a verse. Speaks about faith. This faith can remove everything. You can move Krishna to say, yeah, no problem. Prahlad Maharaj drinks poison, which would kill, you know, Akshauhini of soldiers. Nothing. You know, this can happen. This actually thing, this fear inside, which you feel now, which I feel now, not sure. That's my level of Kanishta. This my, you know, not sure yet. See, it's interesting anyway. And they say, for protection, fully surrender to the Lord. This is again in line of verse. There's no protection, you need to go over there, learn jiu-jitsu, martial arts, you know, whatever, There's some seminars on Kshatriya Dharma in ISKCON. Men and ladies also, they playing with the bow and arrows, you know, shooting, you know. In the war, what's your bow and arrow we do? Are you brave enough to shoot arrow in somebody's body? So, for protection depends on the Lord. That's a thing. Incredible. But here, this verse is described fully surrendered soul. Fully. And when they are fully surrendered, then Krishna inspires householders to provide for them, even with them being asking, as verse Parpat says, you know. They give or they don't. It doesn't matter. You know. But the Lord inspires somebody. Or sometimes even he personally comes, like give to Madhavendra Puri or give to the, even, you know, what's the name of this? He was debauchee and then he blinded himself. What's his name? Biba Mangala, Krishna come giving milk every day, or something like that. So, you see, the Lord will not give you, you know, he will not let you down. It's incredible. So this cultivation of full surrender, that's a key for everything. Like, boy, you know, how much I'm lacking that. And then Prabhupada gives very important thing is that an enlightened person should apply this principle the only small numbers of renunciate people are anyway, always, even in Vedic times. So, then, you know, small number, but still, that's what we have to come through slowly, renounce everything. Yeah. So, Prabhupada, very important thing that he said. Those who beg, who are renounced, they must give contribution to the society. And he speaks specifically about writing. Interesting, like, everybody should write this. Every devotee, 2-4 lines, every day should write. So I think a quote, exact quote, Prabhupada. It's interesting. Yeah, he said, realization means you should write. Every day, each one of you, what is your realization? What is this Back to Godhead magazine? You know, that means I write article. You write your realization, what you have realized about Krishna. This is required. It is not passive. Always you should be active. Whenever you have time, you write. Never mind. 2 lines, 4 lines. But you must write. See? Srinivata Kirtano is over there. He gives in Sanskrit words, which is messed up in my ear. So you have to write constantly. I mean, not constantly, every day, something. You know, write means smaranam. Means when you write, means your memories, you exercise. You see, remembering what you have written. See, from scripture. So his advice to everybody. Everybody must write a few lines, even if you never published, like. You just write. I mean, I have this habit, you know. Online, probably I have at least 7 books written or something, you know. And they will never see the light. It doesn't matter, you know. I find inspiration to read myself. So this is like a smarana, means smarana. Like a few years back, I tried to actually publish one. I was in Mayapur for 2-3 months, like 3-4 years ago, and I was so inspired by japa, chanting. So I wrote a book about japa, entire. And I really spent lots of time, proper book, whatever his book should include, I had to put everything, glossary, everything, cover, I design, everything. One devotee very nicely edited. So I tried to publish on Amazon as more reliable, but then for this you need a special seller account, which includes you have to have a bank account, which I never had any. Then I tried to publish to somebody else. It was too complicated. So this, I accepted this as a Krishna's indication. Leave it. It's for you. And I find very inspiration to read myself. It's in my Kindle. I read. Because there's element pride also there. Everyone who writes. Did anyone wrote a book here? Anyone? I mean, you see, although you feel this is such a great idea, great preaching tool, but there is also sense of, you know, they will recognize me or whatever, they, you know, I'll be distinct, you know, yeah, you know, there's something there. Like I remember a story of, there's a pastime of Vallabha Bhatta, yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. First he met Lord Chaitanya outside of Puri, and it was, Lord Chaitanya was very merciful to him, and later on Vallabha Bhatta came to Jagannath Puri, but he wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was so eager, thinking this is so punchy, you know, it must be devotees, when they hear they will be just in ecstasy, you know, this is so, and he came there, he tried to present everybody, everybody simply ignored him. He tried so hard that somebody hears his comment, and then came to Lord Chaitanya. Please, I wrote, you know, comments on Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, oh, Srimad Bhagavatam is too complicated for me, I just don't know anything about, I can only chant Hare Krishna. Even if I chant all day and night, I cannot finish my rounds. And Vallabha Bhatta said, oh, really? He was thinking, oh, he doesn't have a taste. I'll show him, because Lord Chaitanya, he said, I wrote also commentaries on holy name. Please listen. Lord Chaitanya again dismissed him. I don't know many names. I just know Shyamasundara. I know Yashoda Nandana. I don't know anything else. And when he went home, so disappointed, he was thinking, but why is that happening? You know, everybody dismissing me. Lord Chaitanya was so merciful to me before. Now I just puts me off. What's going on? And then, because he was great friend with Gadadhara, Pandit was very affectionate to him. One morning came and by force he said, "I commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Please listen." And Gadadhara Pandit didn't want to say anything because he said this was a great scholar. He didn't want to offend him. And then in his heart he was praying. He said, "Lord Chaitanya will understand. He's in my heart. I don't want to hear this. You'll not be pleased. But devotees will not understand. They will criticize me." And they criticized, really, Gadadhara for listening to that. And then one morning he came to argue with Advaita Acharya. Always he would argue, Vallabha Bhatta, with Advaita. One day he said, "Listen," he said, "all living entities are Prakriti. And Krishna is only Purusha. Nobody else. You know, and chaste wife," he said, she never chants name of his husband publicly, you know, but you chanting publicly and screaming all day long. How is that so? Advaita Acharya didn't want to argue. He said, "He's a Lord Chaitanya. Ask him. He is a source of all knowledge. Ask him." And Lord Chaitanya, he said, he mildly smiled. He told him, he said, "All purushas are like a wife, and all, and Krishna is like a only enjoyer. But order of Krishna is to chant his holy name. Are we doing that? His order. If wife doesn't follow instruction of his husband, she is unchaste." And again, it was flabbergasted. You know, went home. What should I do? You know, what should I do? If I would just have one chance to come with my points as a more valid than their, this would be like such a relief for me. You know, God's sake, what should I do? And the next day he came, he was arguing with Lord Chaitanya. Oh, what was that? He told him, he said, "Listen," he said, I wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, "I don't accept commentaries of Sridhara Swami." He said, "His commentaries are like very, very circumstantial. At one time he says something, and then next day something else, and I cannot trust him, cannot take him as authority." And then Lord Chaitanya again told him, he said, "If wife doesn't follow the Swami in this way," Swami means twofold meaning, Swami as a Sridhara Swami or Swami as a husband, whatever. He said, "Then she is unchaste. Your commentaries are foolish," he told him straight, "foolish. You don't understand Srimad Bhagavatam." And he was totally destroyed. I went home, and then finally realized, boy, I was so proud. Just realized now, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful to me. So when you give up the pride, such a relief comes to all of us. We have experience. Realize it's idiotic. It takes some time, sometimes, to get few bashing here and there, but real God, and such a relief. And next day, I was so happy to read that portion more. I was just thinking, almost identify with him. You know, yeah, it's a pride there. But when you give up, and they came to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Listen, you know, he said, your pride was not such a big as an unsurmountable mountain, but I wanted to cut it down. He said, you must accept Sridhara Swami. And then in the light of commentary of Sridhara Swami, you can write your commentaries and present them there. And then he surrendered fully. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. So the same as Lord Chaitanya was working on Sridhara Swami to cut his pride off, you write and write and write, and Krishna will purify that also, that pride in us. He will find a way. He acts through devotees, the same as Lord Chaitanya was acting through his associates. They were ignoring him. So in the same way. So, but point is here, you should write. You have to write. You know, it's a good way to churn and churn. You know, and maybe it's good ideas. It will be greater contribution to society. And another point is that we are so fortunate to have this parampara system. You know, that great, great scholars, great devotees, they study all Vedic scriptures, they condense them in smaller form, digestible form. Their realization also gave them us to further down. And those take to those instructions and everything comes down, digested. So this parampara doesn't stop with our gurus or with us. We have to do the same. There's a parampara. Continue, because Kali Yuga got so degraded that we need to digest those Vedic scriptures more and more and be able to present them according to the place, time, circumstances. We must, to be able to speak. You see how people get degraded more. Less and less power to understand. So we have to be pure enough ourselves to understand and to present. That's a point. That's a point here. Another point again, that Goswami's presented such a vast literatures. If they would exist nowadays, you think they will use palm leaves, ink to write? They wouldn't. They would use laptops. They would use, because it's incredible. Let's say that they had laptops in that time. How vast literature we would have. But to prepare a book from palm leaves, you have to prepare those leaves, you have to prepare inks, dry them, even some have chopped, or this is destroyed by time, you know. And Prabhupada was very proud to use high tech of this time, 70s, 60s, to write and translate dictaphones. This was highest technology in that time. Prabhupada didn't have a problem, he would use laptops also, he would use computer, Prabhupada. He had planned to finish much more literature than he gave us. So now it's easy to write. That's a point for us. If you adopt this principle, yukta vairagya, but not yukta, but so much, you know, so many other things. That's our problem. Govinda is mentioned. It's good to use, but we get distracted if we go all over the place. Maybe 1%, 10% we use for Krishna, but then so much waste of time. Everybody could see this, you know. Browsing through all this. Oh my goodness, you know. Anyway, I won't stop here. Please give some realizations, some hopes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for class. There's one Prabhupada disciple. He's from England, Adikarta Prabhu. He lives in Florida. He's got a fruit farm.
Adikarta, sir.
Adikarta. Yeah. And he's got a fruit trees all on his land. Yeah. And the most amazing thing is that each fruit ripens after the next one.
Wow.
So you've always got a, throughout the whole season.
Is that Florida?
Apricots and peaches and
which
plums.
Which part of land is it?
Florida.
Oh, yes.
Florida.
Like Hawaii.
That was in, you know, that's really nice, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. They don't all ripen at the same time. So each fruit ripens at a certain time and then the next
that's
one.
Application of this verse. That means you have to provide first. To apply this verse, you have to work hard first.
So I just you made this comment about the woman dressing nicely and the men, they're not so bothered. It's a kind of unique thing in society. We see even in Indian society, if there's an event, like a high event, everyone's going.
Posh dinners.
The men all wear Western suits in India and the women all wear saris.
Yeah, she is.
They are traditional and the men are.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, huh?
Yeah, yes. It's kind of, when you think of it, it's kind of a little bit strange to see like a lady in India in the Western dress. I don't think I ever seen actually. Always like a Punjabi. It's I never seen.
Yeah, it's
maybe some place like Bombay or something.
Bombay, you go to Bombay.
You know, like
right.
This.
They're all in jeans.
Yeah. In maybe 90, young people.
In 110 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, youngster I've seen in some big cities, young, yeah, but not old. I mean, Western suit. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's interesting, yeah, interesting. What's the message there? What's the message there? Why men are so not bothered about? Anyway, it's not important at all. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Please stop here. Rantarachi Madhvagavatam ki jai Gaur Premarande.